Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
I've got an earth-shattering moment of seminal oratory.
I have Mr. Bean on the moon.
Game fight!
Hello and welcome to Date Fight. It's the 19th of November and this is a podcast where we try and find out what the most important thing ever to happen in history on this date was.
Exactly. I'm Jake Yap, he's Nat Tapley. We've each picked two things that happened on this day in history. We're going to pitch them against each other and see who emerges victorious.
Me.
It's amazing how the stakes have ramped up since we've introduced the forfeits on Sundays.
Oh, yes.
Horrendous. So without waiting for any more of this waffle, let's have round one.
Round one!
My round one is the 19th November, 1969, when Pete Conrad and Alan Bean become the third and fourth men to walk on the moon. Everyone remembers Neil Armstrong.
That is such a relief. There was a bit of me that was going, was there a film of...
No, but there should be. Thinking about that, really should be.
Yeah.
When he gets accidentally drafted into the space program and knocks over people in big gyroscopes.
Genuinely, this is already funnier than any Mr. Bean film. There's a very good sketch,
also,
by the way.
Alan Bean.
Yes.
When they got to the moon, they took the first colour TV camera to go to the moon. Wow. The reason you haven't seen colour TV footage of them on the moon is because Alan Bean pointed at the sun and burnt out the lens.
It was all smoky and hilarious props. Yeah. Wow. Or because
it's fake, mate!
Because it's
fake. It's all fake!
That's the other reason.
Who is it? There's someone really... Oh, Nick Knowles.
Oh, is he a moon
He thinks trooper? They faked the moon landings, yeah. Extraordinary.
Does he think they faked the entire space program or just the moon landing?
I'm just saying that it seems to me that...
I'm just asking questions. I don't know.
It's something to think about, mate.
I
just love the armed forces, and Prince William and Harry would be my dream dinner party guests.
I'm obsessed with Nick Knowles. I can tell you so many facts about Nick Knowles and Alexander Armstrong. Obsessed with them. I don't know why.
What's your top fact about Nick Knowles?
That he recorded his album Every Kind of People, a series of covers.
Yeah.
And he called it Every Kind of People and chose that song because it absolutely epitomizes exactly who he is as a person.
He's every kind of people.
Yes. He's also a vegan sometimes.
So am I.
Yeah, between meals, yeah. It's easy.
Do you want to know what the first thing said by the third man on the moon was?
Of course I do. So, well, here we are.
The first one, Neil Armstrong said,
"Handbrake." What?
Pete Conrad, stepping out of the lunar lander, said, "Whoopee, man! That may have been a small one for Neil, but it's a long one for me because he was shorter than Neil Armstrong." Why has this not gone down in history in the same way?
That's so good.
Whoopee, man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me. And as that echoed down the ages.
I mean, I love the idea of, like, moon bands.
Yeah.
Like, with every expedition, if the moon program had continued, and by now it would have been...
Don't even... try it, because I will put a cap in your ass.
For mankind.
I could bleep that, right?
Yeah, bleep that. Yeah. And their capsule was also struck by lightning 36 seconds after liftoff, which took all the batteries offline. And my apologies to Alan Mead for making him sound like Mr. Bean earlier. He did fix the problem.
Yeah, but not
still
the video camera.
Oh, I've seen the batteries. So that's my one.
That's so good. By the way, just on the sort of Mr. Bean in space thing, there's a really good Saturday Night Live sketch that you can find on YouTube. If you look for SNL space mistakes, it's a very funny It's just like a trailer for a film called Mistakes in Space. And all the dialogue is basically kind of going, okay, well, we're all set for the takeoff. And someone says, oh, I hope no one makes a mistake in space. It just goes on. It's very funny. Okay, I'm going back to November the 19th, 1863.
Mm.
It was a Thursday, as I recall.
Ooh.
And
done that extra bit of research.
That extra bit of copy and pasting. Mm. And US President Abraham Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
who, it turned out, was in the early stages of smallpox.
Oh.
And not very well at all, had gone down to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania,
mm.
to deliver an address that afternoon. Yeah. This was 4.5 months after the Union armies had defeated those of the Confederacy at the Battle of Gettysburg. Now, the full speech is not very long. Like, I was I could probably do it. I'll do it fast.
Do the 4 score and 7 years, yeah.
Right, because everyone knows that line. Yeah. 4 score and 7 years ago, then yeah. What?
Oh, our forefathers, something done to us? I don't know.
Really. Hallowed be thy... Yeah. 4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty. And dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. What is amazing about this address is it... Actually, so many lines of it have become kind of immortal. Mm. Not quite to the level of, whoopee! That's a small one for me!
Let's keep our ideas of what rhetoric is good and bad.
Sure. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. We're halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here. Humble brag. Yeah. But it can never forget...
Oh, you don't want to hear this. I'll just throw the rest away.
Yeah, anyway, have a good...
He's on his phone. He's not listening.
Teas and coffees at the back. Right.
What am I like?
But it can never forget what... They did here. It's for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus so far nobly advanced. It's rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honoured dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, up the people, shall not perish from the earth. That was it.
Yeah.
That same afternoon, a guy called Everett
mm-hmm.
gave an address. And that was called the Gettysburg Address.
Really?
And nobody remembers it.
Good.
Because it was 2 hours long. Oh, it was 13,500 words long.
Everett, what were you doing?
That was literally, it was called, I'm going to do...
Ramlin can just drop the mic and say, follow that, Everett. He went, well, I'll go and I'll busk for a bit. I'll see what happens.
I think he did it first. It's kind of like, sort of stand-up, I think.
Yeah. It's when like someone goes on as a really punchy short set, and then you go on and do 2 hours of...
Yeah, because you're just trying to get a
work in progress material.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the original Everett's Gettysburg Address was just like, so what else has happened? And then, like, turning over a notepad.
What do you do? Insurance, is it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
I'd like to...
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You with him, are you? Yeah. With him? No?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Should have made that clear.
Awkward.
Okay.
Awkward.
Well, it is now.
2 hours of that. Yeah. And then you get the actual ultimate Gettysburg Address as smacked down. His Assistant Secretary John Hay noted that during the trip, Lincoln remarked that he felt weak and that he was dizzy. And during the speech, his face had a ghastly colour and that he was sad, mournful, almost haggard. And then he caught the 6:30 train to Washington, D.C., and he was feverish and weak with a severe headache. He was a mess, and he had smallpox.
Is that after his son had died, or do we know?
Mate, I don't know. Oh, yes, you'll mean William Wallace Lincoln, of course.
Yes.
Yes, of course. Well, he died on February the 20th, 1862. So, yeah, that was about a year and a half before the Gettysburg Address.
Mm.
Which was One Railway Cottages, Gettysburg. Pathetic. Okay, well, who? I mean, oh, I love it because the third man on the moon's thing was so good. You have to have that.
Thank you. Right?
Even though mine was of huge
yours
historical
is actually much more. But although it's not the important speech of the Civil War, the Emancipation Proclamation's big.
Oh, mate, all right. Yeah. You've won the point. Get over it. All right, do the birthdays.
Happy birthday to Ferdinand de Lesseps, the French architect, surveyor, I don't know, who designed the Suez Canal.
Oh.
And whose name was the signal in NASA's speech to retake the Suez Canal, which led to the Suez Crisis, which led to Britain's fall from dominance in the world and becoming a second-rate post-imperial power.
Amazing. You sort of forget the Suez Canal had to be designed.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound silly? It's just like, it was a ditch. You just dig it across the continent.
It makes a lot of sense to go from there to there.
Yeah.
I want to be over there. I can't get there because all this land's in the way.
Yeah. But not much land.
But no one till Ferdinand de Lesseps went, hang on, I have an idea. We could cut right through there and then you can put a boat there.
Yeah. Très bien.
Oh, and happy birthday to Eleanor Audley, who was the voice of Maleficent in Disney Sleeping Beauty.
Gosh.
That's all she did, I think.
That's very cool.
That's all she did. She was also the voice of the Haunted Mansion. Happy birthday to Indira Gandhi, the only female Prime Minister of India, who was assassinated by her bodyguards in 1984.
Right. Where are the ones done in 1985, or...?
Yes, everyone.
Yeah.
Happy death day to Wolf Tone, the Irish general and father of Irish republicanism. Yes, he was taken prisoner by the British and somehow died 16 days later. He was sentenced to hang, but tried to stab himself in the throat before he could be hanged. But he didn't die from the wounds to his throat. The doctor looked at him and said, "Don't say anything. You'll die if you do." To which his response was,
"Okay.
What have I got to live for?" Or something to that equivalent, and then spurt, spurt, death, death.
Wow. Wow.
So, that's Wolf Tone. Happy death day also to James Ensor, the Belgium's famous painter, who's only really famous for having a They Might Be Giants song written about him. And happy death day to the man in the Iron Mask, who, it might sound like I'm doing fictional characters again, but he actually existed. He spent 34 years in a prison cell being guarded by the same person, and nobody knew who he was.
That's insane.
Put there by Louis XIV of France and left there to die for 34 years with no one being allowed to talk to him, apart from to find out what he wanted for dinner. He was allowed to order food, yeah. That was it. He wasn't allowed to talk to anyone for any other reason apart from that.
That's
his face was covered.
Bizarre!
When he was put in the prison, he was called Eustache Doge, but we think now that was probably a reference to someone else. There was a person called Eustache Doge, but we know exactly when and where he died, and it wasn't him. He was there for 34 years with a mask over his face. Some people suggest it might have been Louis XIV's twin brother, who he had put there so he wouldn't try and become king.
Oh, that would explain why he couldn't show his face.
Mm.
Oh, man. Well, that's dark. Cheers.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. CODA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist CODA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at CODA.com. That's CODA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
I'm going to go first this time.
Yes, go first.
And I'm taking you to 1967.
Mm.
And on November the 19th, 1967, the Beatles released their seminal work, Magical Mystery Tour. And I mean, that was in the US, by the way, before Beatles fans start pounding on me. Okay, fine. but I mean, I just want to read you the track listing.
Okay.
Because it's what an amazing album, right?
Am I allowed to read you the track listing for Five Star Silk and Steel afterwards?
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. Okay, side one. Blown it. Dagum Bunny Rabbit, the Peep Peep song.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. DeRocca, the Sewer Unblocker.
Bad sparrow. Mama done a dirty on the doorstep. Apple crumble blues. Your mother should put a knick. I had so much fun.
I can tell.
You are the narwhal. Berlin slip and slide. Gumble Humpty and the unicorn. I'm John Lennon and I was a bit of a turd. And You're Out of Your Mind featuring Dame Bowers and True Steppers.
What an amazing album. Amazing. It's wall-to-wall bangers.
Which is your favourite? I'm Dagum Bunny Rabbit, the Peep Peep song. I mean, just when you hear those opening chords, you just know that you're in for an extraordinary ride.
Yeah, and You Are the Narwhal really transports you to inside the mind of whatever they were on at the time. Yeah,
amazing album.
Great stuff.
Huge fan. Mm. Huge, huge fan. Okay.
Every other podcast's going to be on at you now.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. Bring it.
You're only allowed on podcasts if you love the Beatles.
Is that? Oh, yeah, you're probably right, aren't you? Yeah. Of course. Yeah, all right. I like Paul McCartney. I love Paul McCartney.
Define love.
I would kiss him with some fumbling, but I wouldn't go any further than that.
Yeah, because I imagine his face is quite saggy.
Soft. Very soft.
Yeah.
It's like crepe paper. Anyway, let's press on. Please, let's move on.
Okay. Oh, mine is 1998. On the 19th of November, 1998, the House starts impeachment proceedings against Bill Clinton.
Oh.
But this is a family podcast, so we can't say why.
No.
For some reason, they wanted to impeach Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And the Star Report gave details of the event that led
did.
To the impeachment of Clinton.
Course. Of course.
And yes, they failed to impeach him. But yes, that's it. And I thought that might be relevant today somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Could well be. It's proper popcorn time, isn't it? Stateside.
Mm-hmm. Topical.
I can't stop watching it. I love all that stuff.
Mm.
It's
televised hearings. Is there any word as exciting as televised hearings?
There's nothing.
It's like when Rupert Murdoch got hit with that pie.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. That was a good afternoon.
I felt for Wendy Deng.
But she was too far away.
No, it's just like a charity event I'm doing. Feel for Wendy Deng. Anyway.
Is it the bottom of a tombola or a lucky dip?
Sawdust everywhere. Good.
That's it.
Well, impeachment versus the Beatles. Oh, it's a shame we can't put this out to the public vote, isn't it?
It is. I reckon the public would have an opinion on this.
Yeah.
I think you win because you came up with an entire track listing and I was so lazy I couldn't even be bothered to come up with euphemisms.
True. You know what I did?
For what took, I should have come up with euphemisms for.
It took some time. I had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
But it took a while.
Yeah.
Hey to all. That's great.
What?
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah. And that brings us to the end.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Is that through the whole week to all? We've done four rounds. Surely there must be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, two. Sorry. I thought I should have four.
Oh, you did you? How telling, Nat. How telling.
Two fascinating. Makes it sound like I haven't
fascinating.
Won many rounds.
See how the week unfurls. Fascinating. Now that we have proper forfeits on Sundays. If you could tell everyone about this, that would be
please
great.
Do.
You know, we'll reach a point where we don't have to keep asking you to.
No, that would be lovely. Wouldn't it to never hear this again?
Yeah, that would be rather wonderful. So
just tell everyone.
Consider this your annoying snooze button reminder to like, rate, subscribe, share, and do all the business. Also, dub it off onto some cassettes because they're coming back and sell them at boot fairs. That would be brilliant.
Although home taping is killing music, so.
Yeah, but there's no music in this. Yeah, it's fine. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Bye.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.